I feel like I should be like reading you a book.
I know. It's like,
what you can't see is that there's a globe, very fancy globe right next to me. I feel like I'm doing a fireside chat.
How's your week been?
Oh, you know, the same. Stressful, busy, lots going on. Not a spare minute to think. The usual.
I hear that.
Doing great. Just living the dream.
Are we stressed about stuff about the wedding?
It's just a lot of things that have to happen, like small things. Like I had to finalize the seating chart and like I have to finalize like where people are sitting so that I can tell like the caterer exactly where people are going to be. Had to go back through and make sure everyone's names are spelled right so I can start getting place cards. I had to send all the table assignments to Riley so that she can make my seating chart. Mm-hmm. She's also working on a couple different like signs for me that then I have to print out and I have to get framed. So I have to like get frames for all of those things. We have to go get our marriage license. Mm-hmm. I had to make sure that Emily got her officiant license, her day designation. I just have to start gathering like all of like the little things that we have to bring with us to have final meetings with like all of our vendors. Have to send final payments to a lot of places. And then just like nailing down like timelines and like logistics of like how people are getting different places. So it's just like a lot of like little things that are happening and then being like, oh yeah, we're doing like assigned seats at the rehearsal dinner too. So I have to like do name cards for that too and like finalize that. And then I have like a couple people that are like maybes that I have to like figure out if they're coming to different things or not. And like, yeah. It's just a lot. It's just a lot of things. And I have 3.5 weeks, which is nuts.
Yeah, but then it's done, right?
Yeah, which is also sad. So it's like a weird bittersweet thing where I'm like, I kind of want it to be over, but I also like don't want it to be done. Like I want the planning to be done and I like want all the little things to be done, but I like don't want it to be done yet. So it's like a very weird thing. And I just like feel like I'm forgetting a lot.
You have 2 weeks and then the week leading up to it, hopefully everything will be set.
Yeah. I know. Well, but then
the week before.
I also just have like 19 different tracking numbers that I'm like keeping track of like every single day. Flowers are coming tomorrow.
Okay.
We ordered Nick's ties and those should be getting here by Friday. I have my final wedding dress fitting this weekend and Nick is going to bring his suit to get altered. And then I also am keeping track of our favors that are literally supposed to get here on the Wednesday before the wedding. They better be there because I'm leaving Wednesday and everyone else is leaving Thursday. So like if they're not here on Wednesday or they're not here by Thursday, who's to say what goes down? And then I also
will stop by the house and pick them up for you.
And then I have a dress out somewhere. It's like lost in Brewster. I don't know. It's been literally just in Brewster for like 4 days at this point. And it's just sitting and it's like, I am here. And I'm like, that's a restaurant. Like, why are you there? It's like, has been delivered to like the shipping facility. And I'm like, that's a restaurant. I don't know where you are. But that's my potential like second dress for the wedding. So I'm like waiting for that to come so I can decide like if that's what I'm going to wear. Otherwise I have to like look for other things. Then I have to like figure out newly. And then I'm like trying to figure out if I'm going to get this dress for the rehearsal. And if I don't, I'm like, I should probably have like regardless because like someone has to have it. And like, if I don't get it, it's coming on Thursday with you and Carly, or it's coming on Friday with Riley. Friday, aka the day I need it. So I'm like, I should probably get something else like as a backup that I can return, but then I want it to be like within the return window. So I'm like, I don't want to order it too soon.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, there's like a lot of like, I'm like trying to figure out timings on things and like when to place orders. And then I'm like, well, I shouldn't order these too soon. And I'm like, actually, it's really fucking soon. So I should. But when is too, it's very, my brain is 100 places.
Yeah, that's fair.
So anyways, I'm having a really great week so far. Ugh. Anyways, talk about some Formula One. enough of my sad, sad, stressful life. Yeah, so first of all, sorry for the bad vibes, but this is TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole. This is not a wedding podcast, nor is it a mental health podcast, nor is it a like nail beauty podcast. This is actually about F1, and we're going to get into that now. We're going to get into that right now. We were in Japan. We weren't. F1 was in Japan this past weekend.
I wish we were, though.
I wish we were, too. It looked really fun. Suzuka looks like such a fun track.
I know.
Yeah, we were not there. We weren't there. But
we didn't even watch the race.
I watched the race in Thursday, I was working, and so I didn't actually watch it.
I caught the highlights, unfortunately. Guys, it was Kate's shower was on Saturday.
Yeah.
We were in bed by 9:15 p.m. on Saturday night. We had been drinking all day. I accidentally got everyone way too hammered at the shower.
Wasted.
That's on Wasted. Me.
That was I on made you. A That's mistake. Always on you, dude. That's always on you. Like
That's
every
on
time.
Me, I'll take. I will take responsibility for that. But everyone was asleep by like 7 p.m. And then we were like, is it time to go to bed yet? And thankfully,
it was.
And so we did not make it to watch the Japanese Grand Prix. And then we had, you know, family to entertain Sunday morning. And we, as I'm part of the family, we had family to entertain. And then Carly and I had to drive back to New York. And so obviously didn't get around to watching it on Sunday, but
yeah,
I do know what happened. I did Same. watch the highlights
and I read about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's good and enough that's for me this week.
we can't do everything all the time. And we talk about this regularly. So we're doing our best.
I'm quite literally doing my best.
But you know
things.
What? I think it was good because this weekend it brought us back to equilibrium. Max won.
We're back.
It should be. Yeah. All is as it should be. Max Verstappen won not only the race, but officially took the title for this year's world champion.
Did he, or was that Red Bull took constructors?
I think you're right. It's the constructors.
Red Bull took constructors. Yeah. I know that because Charles congratulated them in his post. And I was like, that was a fake ass congrats, but that's fine. I know you don't mean
but that. But I think if he wins in Qatar, he officially wins the championship as well. So
yeah, and call out to the community here because I was looking at our brunch menu for Qatar for next week, and we only have 3 things on it that people submitted. So I'm gonna need some more ideas because everyone hates when we come up with the menus because.
Yeah, everyone hates when we do
little
it.
Little white girls that can't do anything right. And so I will be letting people vote again because I let you guys decide the menus now. But people only gave us 3 things, so I'll be posting something else. So if you have an idea for what needs to be on a Qatar brunch menu, just let me know. Just
let me know. This is a community effort. Please submit your requests, your ideas. Yeah. We value your feedback.
Very much so.
This is a group project, okay? We can't do it without you.
But back to Japan, it was a pretty exciting race midfield-wise. Like,
I think so.
It was making me think of that TikTok that's going around that's like how to make F1 exciting in 2023. And it's like a strip. Oh my God, it's so funny. It's like a strip of tape that has like 1, 2, 3, 4 through 19. Mm-hmm. And then like a piece of tape across. So basically you put it on top of your TV and the tape across goes over P1. So it goes over Max's name and then it does like 1 through 19 for the rest of them. So whoever's in P2 looks like they're in P1 and they're like, this is how you make it exciting. Cause then you just eliminate Max and you make.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Actually, I have seen that now that you mentioned that it's eliminating Max from.
Yeah. It's like very funny. Yeah. And I was like, yep. Once again, that is true because it was pretty exciting. Like when I watched the highlights, it was pretty exciting, like midfield wise.
I mean,
but once
even
again,
just
we have to
up-
talk about this again because Checo needs to fucking relax. Once again, what's his deal?
This week,
he's having performance anxiety or something because he's
I
just
think
like,
so.
Dude, Chill this out.
When I was watching the highlights, I was just thinking about the not Arrested Development. What is the other Larry David show?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. The Curb Your Enthusiasm jingle, like the music, is what I was imagining over the highlights, because it was just like everyone bumping into each other and Checo essentially being a menace.
Literally.
I was like, this was.
Checo doesn't know that he's not playing bumper cars this season.
Like, Checo, did he lose his photo of the Pope? What's going on?
What's happening? He's literally DJ Khaled-ing all over the place. Another one. I'm like, what's going on? And everyone's on the radio being like, I just got hit by Perez. I just got crashed out by Perez.
You know how in Mario Party, at the end of the game, they give out like bonus stars to people?
Yes.
Like people who got like the most coins stolen from them or whatever get like a bonus star. It should be like the driver who got hit by Checo the most this season gets like an extra 10 points in the Constructors Championship Challenge. That would be ideal, because Checo is just on a mission to absolutely ruin every single person's race this season.
I'm like, what? Like, what is going on? Checo just needs to relax, and I can't wait to see what happens next time.
He's already re-signed for next year. Why is he trying to put that in jeopardy?
Well, because a re-sign, like a contract with Red Bull, doesn't really mean that much.
I guess you're so right.
I guess a contract anywhere doesn't really mean that much anymore.
I guess
everyone's replacing people left and right.
They got enough money to buy people out these days. They don't care.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling like he's feeling his feet to the flame a little bit. He's just on his destructing journey.
He's Wreck-It Ralph right now.
He literally. He's Dennis the Menace.
Well, I hope he settles down, because we'll get into this a little bit later. I have another point about Checo, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about this next point you have on here about Toto.
Oh, yeah. So you know how Toto was getting surgery on his knee, and they were like, oh, we're going to have people come in and like replace him and pick up the slack. Like while Toto's out, he's going to miss Japan. He's going to be at a hospital in Austria. So there was a point when George and Lewis were kind of like fighting with each other to the point where like Lewis pushed George off a little bit, and George was like all mad on the radio. He's like, who are we racing here? Everyone else or each other? And whatever. Yeah. And so there was a point when Carlos was coming up behind both, and in order to keep it so that Carlos didn't pass both of them, they had to let Lewis, like team orders, Lewis pass George to keep George behind him. In DRS, I guess Lewis was just going faster. I don't really know. But so there's that the like final stage of the race. And in order to ensure that Carlos didn't pass them, they actually had to call Toto at the hospital in Austria to get his blessing on giving the team orders and basically tell him, like he had to tell the drivers.
They had to patch him through.
They're like, hey, it's like,
guys. Toto.
It's literally when you're babysitting and you're like, the kids won't listen to me. And so you're like, I have to call the parents because they're going to tell the kids what to do because the kids won't listen to me. They don't respect me as just like the babysitter. And you're like, listen, mom's on the phone. She says you have to do this.
It's the substitute teacher who's like, you know what? I'm calling your teacher.
Yeah, literally.
I'm playing the video of her saying, if you don't listen to me, you guys are going to be in trouble tomorrow.
Literally. So hysterical to me. I think it's so funny.
It's kind of insane, though, that they have to be treated like that, though, that they can't, as fully grown adults, can't just accept that there are team orders and the only person they'll listen to is Daddy Toto.
It's hysterical. I'm like, the only person I'll listen to is Daddy Toto, too.
Tell me more. Punish me more.
Mm. Is it bad?
Ooh, call me a bad boy. They're just acting up for Toto so he'll give them attention. That's what it is.
They're being brats. And you know what? That's their thing, and that's fine.
We can't get on this topic.
Shut it down. Anyways.
One thing that I found interesting from this weekend as well was that the AlphaTauri boys were also beefing. Yes, because at one point, team orders were given to Ocon to let Pierre pass him.
Alpine boys.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, Yuki and Liam I had no idea.
Broken brain. Okay, the Alpine boys were beefing. And at one point, Pierre was allowed to go ahead of Ocon to try and get whoever was in front of him. I think it was Alonso. And Ocon came on the radio and said, hey, Pierre's not doing what he should be doing. Give me the place back. And so then they told Pierre that he had to give Ocon the place back. He basically kind of like rake checks Ocon. And then like Ocon goes around and Pierre's like yelling and then he's giving him the finger. Like he's so mad that he has to give Ocon the position back, even though Ocon gave him the position to begin with.
Even though that's literally how it works every time.
Every time. And so I was kind of just like, Pierre, this is not becoming. Like, why are you acting like this? Like, stop it. So embarrassing. And Ocon was like, them's the breaks, baby. Like, that's how the cookie crumbles.
Literally, like, those welcome to F1. That's how this has always gone. These are the rules.
Like, I don't know what to tell you, bud. Like, be better then. It'll be interesting to see the dynamic at the next race, because I think whatever was brewing before they became teammates is, I think, kind of resurfacing.
Yeah, they did a lot of damage control for a while, but it was only a matter of time.
You know what I think they should do?
What?
They should just physically fight.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's like how it works with boys. Yeah, just physically fight. Take some swings at each other. Get out your aggression. Fight it out and get back to your jobs.
What show is that from? Is it New Girl? It's New Girl, right? And they're like, guys, when we get into arguments, we just literally punch each other and then we're done. Girls are like sending each other emojis and like complimenting each other. And that's how you know you're mad at each other. And like Jess and Cece are like, literally, she's like, oh, she sent me the lipstick emoji followed by a monkey followed by a purse. Because they're like beefing over that purse that they both wanted. And all the guys are like, oh, we just like punch each other. And then they like actually do that at the club. They like they just like smack each other's boobs.
Like that's what's needed. And you know what? They should sell tickets. They should sell tickets
to the fight. This is what we talked about with Gunther. This is the White Collar Boxing match.
Fight night, bitch. Put that shit on HBO. I'm buying primetime access. Like, I'm gathering the girls. We're having a night of it. I'm ordering chicken wings. We're making bets.
Fight. So I'm in.
It is the world's oldest sport, okay? Yeah. We just like to watch people punch each other because most of the time they probably deserve it. So
true.
Whatever those two have going on, they need to fight about it.
100%.
Or LP needs to hire a mediator and they need to have couples therapy. I don't know which one it is, but either way, I want to see it happen.
Couples therapy live.
I love it. Bring in Esther Perel. Tell her to come in and give Esteban and Pierre the full couples treatment.
Yeah, they need it. It would be really healthy for them, I think.
Yes.
Something that I have to talk about because it was maybe the craziest thing of this race.
I know, sorry. We kind of skipped over this in our Checo era,
but
please.
Checo retiring twice from this race. I have never in my life seen this happen, but he literally hit everyone. And so they're like, you're damaged, my guy. And he had like 2 5-second penalties or something like that. And they were like, retire the car, dude. Retire it. Like, it's fucked. And so they retired it. And then like 20 laps later, Checo's back on the track. And I'm like, where the fuck did you come from? And
it was a real surprise, bitch.
But you thought
you'd seen the last of me.
Literally. And so basically it was a strategic move by Red Bull. So he got to serve his 5-second time penalty, which took away the risk of him having to do it in the next race. Because if you have a 5-second time penalty, I guess, and you don't serve it because you retire, you have to do it in the next race. So they basically had retired him like it was a precautionary retirement at first. They were like, it wasn't like his car was broken and like undrivable. They were just like, we're not letting you do any more damage to this absolute destructor.
He's on fucking bulldoze mode.
Literally, they're like, okay, Dennis the Menace, please hold up. We're just going to retire you right now, it's because like, what monster the fuck truck game are you jam, playing out
Jesus.
There? Yeah, like, holy fucking shit. And so they brought him in and then they were like, okay, the car can still be driven. So we're going to have you go back out, serve your time penalty, and then come back in. Which also, why? Because that didn't even do anything to him. That like should not be allowed, I don't think. But somehow it is like technically allowed in the rules. And so I think everyone was like, oh, we're going to be having to take a little look at that one again, because how the fuck is that legal?
It's giving very much Red Bull knowing the loopholes. Like it's very much
they
like
have someone on their team just absolutely combing the rule book for loopholes.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, they're
if
like,
if this happens, do this. If this happens, do this.
It's kind of absurd, and I think that's kind of a good segue.
Yeah.
Into our kind of broader F1 news segment, where, like you mentioned, we don't know. It's kind of not kosher the way that Checo handled his 5-second penalties.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make sense. How can you retire the car, be 20 laps behind people, and then just send them back out to serve a penalty that actually has no, like, it doesn't cause any retribution to them in the race because they weren't going to finish anyway. And, you know, who would agree with this?
Alex Albon. And George Russell. Yeah, Albon came out kind of even differently and was like, and just said that he doesn't think that the 5-second penalty is strict enough. He's like, it's not really teaching us anything, because you can like technically serve your 5-second time penalty and like it doesn't do that much to you. Like 5 seconds at this point is like not that much. And so he thinks it needs to be stricter so that people actually don't cause collisions, and because they're like, I could get this person out and then only serve 5 seconds and like I'll be fine.
Right.
And then hall monitor and driver association director George Russell was asked about it. And he said, this quote from it is like very funny to me. He said, when I look at Austin last year, when I made a mistake with Carlos and I got a 5 seconds for it, that was really drive-through worthy. And it's difficult because we always say that we shouldn't judge the consequences of the incident. But sometimes you need to judge the consequence of the incident. So I'll need to review. He's taking his magnifying glass out. He's getting his red pen. He is reviewing the footage. And George is going to come up with something here.
You know what I would love to see? So, you know, they used to air the driver press briefings, right?
Yeah.
And I wish that they had a meeting where George or whoever was GPDA director, he just got up there and was like, all right, guys, as if he was kind of like the dorm room RA, where he was just like, all right, this is what we're going over this week. And I have my notes. I have all of my complaints of my noise complaints. I have drinking violations. We're going through them all. And I wish that the drivers just had to sit through George.
Yes.
Being a brown noser.
Or I wish that we got like a State of the Union from the Grand Prix Drivers Association director, George Russell. And he had to tell everyone, he had his own little press conference, and he has to go up and give a State of the Union of the Drivers Association and things that he will be looking into more.
I would love that. That's what I'm waiting for.
It's like so funny.
But I my thoughts on the matter, because yeah, obviously tell me.
I wanna know.
Thoughts really matter on this.
They do. They matter to me a lot.
I think I don't love when they have to serve a 5-second penalty, like they can serve it in the middle of the race. I think that that is less detrimental than when they get served it at the end, right? Because I think people have the ability to make it up in between, especially like with pit stops. And they're like, well, if I just make the first pit stop, then I can really undercut everyone and it'll be fine, right?
Either that, or I think that they need to take it immediately. Like as soon as the decision is made, you're have like next time you hit past the pits, you got to go in.
Yeah.
You have to go in no matter what that's going to do to your strategy. You caused a collision. You're serving your penance right the fuck now.
You're going into timeout.
Timeout. 5 second timeout, bitch. But I do agree.
Checo
I think
needs
5 seconds
timeout.
Is not enough.
No.
I don't think that's enough.
Especially like in today's day and age, like maybe
they're so fast.
Yeah, it's just like it's not the same.
Yeah. So I'm in agreement with Alex and George. I hope that when George reviews the tapes, he comes to the same conclusion.
I can't wait.
Like, Checo needs something else.
He needs to be reprimanded for
Checo
sure.
Checo needs something that's going to get through to him. They need to like interview him and be like, what would be the worst punishment you could think of? And they're like, surprise, that's what happens when you crash into people, bitch.
He's serving his own. He's his judge, jury, and captor.
And executioner.
Or executioner.
What'd you call it?
Captor.
Judge, jury, and captor. Damn. Okay, where are we at?
Real Stockholm syndrome on the brain.
Seriously. Okay, something else that I want to talk about from this weekend in like larger F1 news is that Sebastian Vettel could be returning to racing as soon as 2024. He won't be likely returning to F1, but he is eyeing a potential seat in the 2024 World Endurance Championship and could share a car with former F1 rivals Jenson Button and Robert Kubica, which would be like such a fun little trio. But yeah, I guess, you know, he's always said he wouldn't rule out a return to racing. But he said likely not F1, especially not yet, but hasn't really, you know, said no to anything else. So he is a potential for 2024, which would be so much fun.
It would be.
Because that's next year. I was like, wow, 2024. So in a couple of years, we'll see him maybe. Nope, that's actually next year. And I just realized that right now.
And isn't Mick rumored to also be joining World Endurance Championship Racing?
Yes.
I thought I saw that rumor. Because he's so. Not getting a 2024 F1 seat, that's for sure.
Right. Unless Williams out of nowhere pulls him, but I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. So Seb and Mick back together. Love to see it.
That would be amazing. Something else that I would love to see that's also coming up is a potential new addition to the grid of a new team. We've talked about this quite a bit, but the FIA has thrown out 3 bids for a new F1 team, but one still remains, and that is believed to be Andretti Cadillac. They are the only applicant left standing. The American outfit has allegedly reached the final stage, which will be the toughest of all. Basically, there's like a lot of different stages of becoming a new F1 team. You have to submit a proposal. You have to get through to another round. You have to prove your funding, prove your like business strategy and acumen, and then like the final round I think is like obviously the most stringent.
It's a panel interview, obviously.
Yeah, so they so Andretti Cadillac has made it through to that final round, so TBD on whether we'll see them on the grid anytime soon, but they are the last of 4 submissions that the FIA received this year, so very exciting. And something else that is extremely exciting is that Aston Martin's ambassador, Jess Hawkins, became the first woman in nearly 5 years to drive a contemporary F1 car, which is so exciting. She completed 26 laps in the Aston Martin's 2021 car at the Hungaroring last Thursday. This is pretty impressive because it's been nearly 5 years since any woman has driven an actual F1 car in like an actual testing or anything official. It's also been 47 years since Italian Lella Lombardi took part in an F1 race. We did do a whole Fact Friday about Lella if you're interested in hearing more about her. She's incredible. So she took part in an F1 race 47 years ago, and it's been 8 years since our girl Susie Wolf competed in a Grand Prix practice session. So it's been a while, but really exciting to see a woman get behind the wheel.
We love it.
Yeah, someone asked like Susie about it. She was obviously psyched, but you know, a while ago she was talking about F1 Academy and kind of how close we are to having a woman actually in the driver's seat, actually driving an F1 car for a team in an official capacity. And she said probably about 10 years, which I think a lot of people might hear that and be like, oh my God, like that's insane. But like, she was like, I'm just setting expectations of like, what's realistic. And she's like, well, it's not going to happen overnight. Becoming an F1 driver is hard, even for men. Like there's only 20 seats as of right now, there's only 20 seats and only 10 teams. And it's really hard for anyone to get to that point. And she was like, you know, with things like F1 Academy and what we're doing, like, I do think it's going to happen, but it's going to be a long process. And she's like, I just want to set people's expectations that I'm really hopeful it'll happen, but it will, you know, take time, which I think is really fair and awesome for her to kind of like set those expectations. Because I feel like a lot of time people want to be like, this is happening, so like something's going to happen so soon. And if it doesn't, and we always talk about this, like if it doesn't happen in a year or two, like it's a failure. And I think that that is like really, really unfair to say that when there's like progress happening. And sometimes like things like that really do take a long time. That's why people always ask, like, what's your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan? Like things that are worthwhile and things that are done right take time. And I think that that's the biggest thing.
You know who said that? Otmar. And guess what happened to him? Booted. Yes,
they didn't want to believe him.
So not everyone's like us. Not everyone can see the vision, you know?
Not everyone is like forward thinking enough. You know?
Yeah. So that's kind of, that's, I mean, not to like toot our own horns or anything, but like,
we're just two forward thinking girls. Whatever. Whatever. But that's kind of all of the bigger F1 news that I at least had. Did you have anything else?
Nope. I think you covered most of it. Let's get into our driver drama updates.
Driver drama, driver updates, the huge, our bread and butter.
Our faves. And obviously last week we discussed the rumor that Yuki was going to be announced as re-signed this weekend, which he did. You know, we joked about Danny not getting re-signed. I am thankful that he did get re-signed, but I am also like, Liam Lawson is really fucking good, actually. And like, maybe they made a bad decision. I don't know. I'm not someone who hires Formula One drivers, but as an armchair expert, I'm like, I do kind of see the argument that people are like, Yuki's had 3 years to get his shit together. And Liam Lawson has come in and done better than him in almost every single race that he's done. And so it's like kind of crazy that they're re-signing Yuki over bringing in Liam. But this goes back to kind of talking about how they want two Dannys and they don't want any rookies on the team. And so obviously Liam would fall into kind of that rookie category. So I see how it was executed on the vision, but I'm not sure how it's going to pan out for them.
Next year. I also like, you know, I think it's really interesting, like looking at Liam's season so far, and like he has come in and just done like really, really great. But I think there's also a different mindset and there's a different level of pressure when it comes to actually having a contract for a full year and being a rookie and being like, you're in this, versus coming in to replace someone and just kind of having it be like, I'm just going to go out there and do my best because like there's not a lot of pressure. I'm not worried about like getting my contract re-signed or like anything like that. So I also feel like we've seen that before where like Nyck de Vries came in like and like replaced someone for a race or two and did amazing, but then came in as a rookie and obviously had some issues, was struggling a little bit. So I think there's like a different set of pressure. And so I feel like AlphaTauri is probably like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, you know, he's done really great, but just because he's done great for like three races doesn't necessarily mean he's going to do great all the time. So I think it's fair, but I do feel bad for Liam because I think that he did a really good job so far. And like, it doesn't seem like he's stopping. I don't know. They haven't confirmed when Danny will be back, but so hopefully he'll have some more chances to prove himself. But there are rumors that he may stay on the grid because there's only one seat left for the 2024 season. Silly season really wrapped itself up pretty early this year, but it is a TBD on if Logan Sargeant is going to keep his spot at Williams. Right now, the rumors are that Liam Lawson could get it now that he is officially not going to be an AlphaTauri. And there's also the rumor that Felipe Drugovich, the Aston Martin reserve driver, is being looked at for that second seat at Williams. Alex Albon already re-signed his contract, so it's a TBD. Or they could, you know, surprise us all and keep Logan Sargeant. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think that's something that you and I always say. We always say we think rookies deserve at least two seasons to get over that initial first season like jitters and getting used to it. But sometimes people are not. Again, people are not as patient as we are. They're not as forward-thinking, and they don't necessarily like to give people enough time to come into their own. And that's on them.
But it's also hard because Liam does bring money to the table, or Logan brings money to the table, right? Whereas is Liam or Felipe going to bring as much money as Logan is? And obviously Williams is a pretty solid midfield contender this year, thanks to Alex. And so it's like, well, maybe they don't need the money for next season because the way that they're shaping out for their payout at the end of the season will be okay. So I think there's a lot of things to consider here. But at the end of the day, Williams obviously wants to get back to its former glory. And the only way that they're going to do that is by building, they've already said, you know, we want to build a really strong team around Alex Albon. He's been doing great for us so far.
Yeah.
He's interested in staying on and building a relationship with them, building a strong team. So I think they really need to find a good partner to Alex to be able to succeed in that journey.
Agreed. Something else that talking about building a great team.
Great segue.
Building things. The entire grid came together this weekend with none other than our favorite Sebastian Vettel, who returned to the grid for just the second time this year at Suzuka to build B hotels as part of Seb's new biodiversity initiative. They unveiled the rename Buzzin' Corner at turn two, where they built 11 insect hotels behind the inside of the barrier at the second corner, and launched it with the support of almost the entire F1 grid and various senior personnel on last Thursday on media day. It was just so cute. I love, we've talked about this so many times, but I love that the grid just like, everyone loves Seb and everyone will show up for him and like do what he wants to do. And like, it was like so cute. There was like videos of like Seb explaining to Charles like what the initiative was and like what they were doing and like all this stuff. And he's like, did you know that, like, you know, we know that bees pollinate things, but actually other insects do too. So this is like an insect though. It was so cute. I was
it was so
it.
So sweet. And then also like him in his little like media vest just waving the flags. It was so cute. It was so cute. And I was just like, I'm in love with this man. I'm in love with him.
The cutest thing of all time. So wholesome. And I was just like,
I want him to do that at every track.
Yeah.
Like Seb's B hotels at every single track. Okay. This is a good initiative for Hilton, who sponsors McLaren, to come in and build some B hotels, some Hilton B hotels at all of the tracks, to be the sponsor for Seb's B hotels. I'm just saying it writes itself.
They can be called Hotels Sebastian.
Look at this. We're just here. We're here. Look at that. And people are just not utilizing us.
Nobody utilizes
these
brands. What's
going on with that?
Not even us. I wish I could use my brain as much as I'm offering it up for other people. I wish it would think this much for me. It just thinks for other people, and that's fine.
It just thinks for other people. It's crazy. That's crazy.
Rude.
Anyway, other things to love about Japan.
Honestly, so many things. Everyone does some of their greatest work in Japan on social media. Everyone just does it in Japan.
Everyone is showing up and showing out for their Japanese grid picks.
Like they do a grid
not stories. Yeah. Like people were posting on the main grid for Japan.
Like Charles' photo of him in the like whole cutout, like cardboard cutout with the hole in it. Like I was like, you're the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was so good. I think Pierre had several Japan dubs.
Yes.
He filmed so much content. They had Logan slutted out.
Oh my God.
On the Williams Instagram. He was posing everywhere.
He was working. They were like, listen, Logan, you're on America's Next Top Model right now and then also Project Runway, because one day you're in. And the next day you're out. One day you're in, next day you're out. So work. Make it work.
Make it work. Work for your seat. The only way you're going to do that is by being hot on Maine.
They're like, we have three photos in front of us, a.k.a. Logan, Liam, and Felipe. But only one will make it through. And Logan was absolutely posing for his life.
He was serving.
Mm-hmm.
He was serving, Your Honor. I'd also love to discuss Christian's BuzzFeed pick. He was giving every dad on vacation. Like the pose.
All we were missing. All we were missing was like a below angle selfie.
Yes, yes, yes. It was the white pants. It was just everything. I was like, this is giving, you're like, hey dad, let me take a photo of you so you could remember vacation, and you just snap a photo and he's like standing there like,
yes. Like, I'm dead.
It just was funny. I was like, there's not too many times when I feel like every single person post photos about their race weekend, but I feel like Japan is really one of them.
Always. Where like, because it's just a fun city, and I feel like people are like, there's yeah. cool shit happening. Lewis is just shopping with a toad hat on.
Him and his whole gang were dressed up as Mario Kart characters.
It was everything.
I'm surprised no one did a little video of them all racing as Mario Kart in the street. Like, regular people can do that. I don't know why they don't do that for F1 drivers. Like, right. I feel like that's fun content.
I know.
Once again, put us in charge.
We're always thinking. We're always thinking. Okay, let's get into this Checo thing. This isn't just about Checo, but this is what Checo is what reminded us about this.
Yes. So I saw something on Twitter the other day, and it was the World Deconstructors Championship
yeah.
standing.
Me and Nick were laughing about this weekend.
AKA, who has caused the most damage out of all of the drivers? Like, who's cost the teams the most amount of money? And this is where I want to include Checo into it, because I think that there should be a ranking for how much Checo has caused of damage to these other cars.
Yeah, like how much of this is because of Checo?
Because of Checo, exactly. So in first place, we have Logan Sargeant with coming in at just about $4 million worth of damage.
It's like these numbers pain me because I'm just like, that is so much money.
I mean, it's like Gunther said in his book where he's like, that's $7 million out the window. And that's $7 million I could use to pay someone's salary.
Yeah.
I could use it to do discovery or research. And now it's just poof, gone.
Literally.
And so again, going back to if Logan really has a seat, those numbers, not child's play.
Nope.
That for a team that is hurting for money, not a great look.
Not a great look.
Followed closely by Lance Stroll at $2.6 million. And in third place, Sergio Perez, $2.5 million as well. So, but again, I think Sergio should really come into play how much damage he's done to everyone else. Because I think that he's probably in place.
100%.
I think Logan has caused a lot of his own damage. But Sergio,
I also love that on here, Nick DeVries and Danny are same one because I'm like, well, who did what? Because Danny literally crashed the car the first time out, so like, is that 1.1 or 1.2 million all Danny, and like poor Nick DeVries is getting looped into that, or like what's going on here? Who did what?
I will say I am surprised by, I'm both surprised and not surprised by the bottom five on this list.
I agree.
The bottom five are Lando, Valtteri, Lewis, Fernando, and Max. Max has caused the least damage.
Yeah.
Max makes sense because he's always in first place.
Yeah, so he's never really coming. Who's in his way to crash into?
Right? No one's really coming into contact with him. And Fernando and Lewis are so senior and veteran that like they're good at their jobs. I'm very impressed with Valtteri because I thought that he would be kind of midfield with how bad the Alpha is this year.
I think, but it's, I guess, all like
he's just been DNFing too much.
It's like mechanical issues. It's like not that he's caused damage. Like I don't think he's crashed that much. It's like mostly mechanical issues that are just like fucking him over.
Yeah. And then obviously Lando being fifth, where I'm just like, you know what? Good for him. He's actually being a very responsible youngish driver. Carlos and Charles being in the top 10. That's, you know, they're just fucking shit up.
They said, we hate this team, we're fucking shit up instead.
They're their own worst enemy. So I just thought that was funny. I thought that was a good kind of, but all in all, total, there have been almost $28 million worth of damage this season.
It's so upsetting.
Which is kind of an absurd figure. to do you know
what
about.
I could do with $28 million?
You know what I could do with even $220,000 of Max Verstappen damage? Literally, like that could
much. Like I could do so much with that. Like that would probably solve every problem that I like have in my life at the moment. Like every why single do we put problem up with this? Like, why would be do solved if them? I yes. had $220,000. Like every problem would be better.
They just let them gaslight us with this amount of money and they're like, it's nothing. $4 million for Logan? Fuck it. It's nothing.
Fuck it. We'll re-sign him. Like, I'm literally aghast.
If I cost $100 worth of damage at my job, I would be fired.
Literally. I am aghast. I am agog.
I'm gagged. Okay. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Tube Girl. I know Tube Girl. Next.
Okay. You do know Tube Girl. Okay. I'm very proud of you. I wasn't sure. So for anyone who may be listening and is not on the internet or you're not on the same side of the internet as us, there is a TikTok viral sensation. Her name is hashtag Tube Girl or Sabrina. And she just really shoots her shot on public transportation. And she just is like main character energy with her angles and her slutty little pop songs. And it's kind of taken the internet by storm. Everyone wants a piece of this action. And I am patiently waiting to see which team is going to be the first to give us Driver Tube Girl content. And I wanted to ask you who you think your prediction is. Because I think that we're not getting out of this trend without seeing at least one.
Yeah. So, I mean, in my brain, I want to say Red Bull. Because, like, I think Red Bull's team is like always the one that goes out and does the like crazy stunts and like does those things. Red Bull is just like kind of known for that, but I don't think Max or Checo would be like down, so like I don't think that would happen. My next thought is like Aston Martin, because they are really into working with creators, and I think that like they've done a lot of stuff like that. But again, Alonso and Lance do not strike me as the drivers that are going to do this. So in my brain, I'm thinking
the thing is though that Alonso's TikTok.
That's true.
Whoever runs Alonso's TikTok is so on top of the trends. And they're like, the other day they did a video of him reading a book about the Roman Empire. And so I'm like, it's very funny. Like,
it I think is, that but I don't know if they runs... like, I think he'll film like short things. Like, he's filming short things, like, yeah. He's reading a book. And they're mostly making the TikTok around him, where this, he would have to be like a real part of it. So I could see like a Lando Oscar. Like, I could see that. Or I could see AlphaTauri. Yuki and Danny. Like, I could see, because AlphaTauri also tries to do kind of similar things to Red Bull, but I think that they have drivers with like a little more personality that would like maybe do this.
So we saw Lily did a version of this.
Yeah. Also, I was going to say Williams, because I think that they could get
Lily. I was going to say, I think that they could potentially get Alex to do something like this, because I think he's really growing into his personality. But I can also maybe see Ferrari capitalizing on this. Like, I feel
it's like they're gonna try. Know. Like, they're gonna try, and it's not gonna be that
good. I don't think it's gonna execute the way that they want it to, but I'm not really sure like who on the grid could really pull this off the best. I think personally, Alex has the best bet of like being able to pull something like this off.
Yeah.
But I think Ferrari often does like a lot of like thirsty slutty content with their drivers, and this is kind of thirsty and slutty, and they know that the girls will go absolutely wild for it. So my bet is on Ferrari doing something like this, but I won't be surprised if Alex Albon and Williams do something like this as well.
I'm gonna throw in a hedge bet for McLaren.
Okay.
I think McLaren's pretty up on the trends too. And I think that Lando and Oscar seem to have the chemistry where they'll both just like do things and like really giggle about it. And like, they'll try.
Correct. So
that's what I'm going to say.
Okay. And you know what, before we move on, we didn't put on the agenda, but we have to talk about the Ferrari fashion show video. We had to talk about it because once again, manifestation.
Once again, the girls are manifesting and they're making a wish and it's coming true.
Like,
and I just, when I saw Charles Leclerc doing a model walk, my jaw did be on the floor immediately. I would pay so much money. Like, I'm like, oh, $4 million. You want $4 million for me? I'll pay it. I'll take out a loan for this. He was just looked so good. He and Carlos looked so good. Like, they looked so good.
The fact that Carlos was wearing
like a tight, I was like, you're a slut.
And you could see like his abs through his shirt. I was like, ah! No.
Yeah, it was.
I can't deal with this right now. It was too fun.
It was. It really was.
But again.
And I don't really know anything else to say other than like, it was.
Just like, again, we are making our dreams a reality. And this is all you guys have to do is you just have to joke about it enough.
Yeah.
Someone's going to hear you. Someone's going to.
Someone out there is going to do it.
What's going to do it? And for us, it was our boys.
Our boys.
Walking the runway.
Trying to. That was for us.
They said for you.
Yeah. They said. So. Kate Nicole. Agent Kate Nicole.
Forehead kisses to the Ferrari social team. Love you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Truly. Similar vibes here. We're going to the girls' room. The girls' room. And first of all, I'm getting less and less excited about giving these updates, but Chloe Stroll is coming out with yet another single. Hurricane will be out on October 6th. I can't tell you if I'm excited about it or not.
I hope it's your wedding dance song. I hope you love it so much you decide to change the last minute.
Surprise, Nick. It's actually this. it's just, yeah, she hasn't been impressing me so far with this new round of music. You know, she put out her hit too soon. Surrender was too soon.
She peaked.
But here's what I want to talk about. Here's what I really want to talk about today. Is I really want to talk about Wags fashion.
Okay, please.
This is something that I feel passionately about. But I first, you know, came up with the idea because we were looking at Alex, Charles's new girlfriend, Alex. She was in the paddock this weekend, you know, and I was just like, I'm just a little confused about her style. Like, I want it to work with her. And I think she's a little bit confused about her personal style, which makes sense. She's like very young. And like, I'm still kind of confused about my personal style. But it felt like she did not have a clear like theme or vibe for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And like, so she came in one day and was in this like tight A-line, like tight cinched waist black dress with like a flowy bottom, very like TikTok, very like Pinterest girl right now, and was wearing that. And then the next day, like when I saw her in the garage, she was wearing like a big white t-shirt and like baggy jeans. And then we saw her in like a secretary outfit with like, she was
again, like I said, she looked like she works at Olive Garden. Like, I was just like really confused.
And I'm
about
just
what
like kind of wondering what I think she might be struggling with, like the perception of like being a wag. And like, mm-hmm. You're this age, she's young, she's like trying to figure out who she is anyways, and now she's on this like big international stage, and she's like, am I this like cute fun young girl, or do I need to like look more professional, look older, and like try with like this like white button down or whatever. Like, I think she's just kind of like, I don't really know what my vibe is, and I don't know what's kind of expected of me, especially like my boyfriend is like the favorite, team favorite at like one of the top teams and like one of the most historic teams.
Right.
So, like, do I need to like really step my game up and like be more like look older than I am? And so it got me thinking, like, what would I like for her? And, like, what do I think would look really mm-hmm. great on her? And I was realizing that she kind of gives me Olivia Rodrigo vibes. Like, I feel like they have, like, very similar features. Like, they're very kind of, like, sharp-featured, really beautiful, like, darker skin tone, darker hair, really skinny. And, like, I was like, I feel like an Olivia Rodrigo style would look really good on Alex. Like, a little bit, like, punky, super, like, leaning into like her youth and like mm-hmm. Gen Z, but also kind of like, you know, elevating it like a notch where it's like, okay, you could be like a fucking pop star like Olivia Rodrigo. Like, I feel like that vibe, like a little punkier vibe, because she is like she just like looks very classy. Like, she has like that look of like a very like polished person. So I'm like, a little punk with like a little like refined edge, I feel like would look so good on her. And like, I would mm-hmm. love. Like, I feel like I'm going to, like, start, like, a little Pinterest board of, like, what I would like to see her in. I'm, like coming up with, like, my fan fiction, like, outfits for, like, I'm, like, you're, like my little people.
We got to get on Polyvore stat.
Yeah, I'm, like, Polyvoring the shit out of her right now. But I just feel like that's, like, the vibe that would look really good on her. And so then it made me think of, like, the rest of the grid. And, like, what kind of style vibes do we think they would like really crush? Like, obviously, so first up is Carmen, and like obviously she has like a very clear look. Like, she is preppy. Like, she's just like our preppy tailored pantsuit. Tailor, like, she goes to a tailor 3 times a week, like, to pick up her new things. She's just like very chic, preppy, that. But what else do you think that she could really pull off? Like, what kind of style or like vibe would you like to see Carmen try out?
I think Carmen always really plays it safe with like neutrals.
Yeah.
I personally would think, like, love to see her play with more color and different kind of shapes of her clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, she's always very kind of polished and they're very like straight lines. And it's very clean. I'd love to see her kind of be bold with her outfit choices.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I'm gonna keep her in the preppy category because I think it really works for her and I think she knows what she's doing. But I think she does a lot more like androgynous, like male female like silhouettes. Like, she loves her like tailored pants and blazers. I would love to see her do like the other side of that, like almost like the schoolgirl prep. Like, I would love to see like pleated skirts and like,
ooh, with riding boots.
Yeah. And like a vest around, like, or a sweater around her shoulders. Like, I want to see kind of like how she would do, like, make it a little edgier, like a little edgy prep with like the short skirts, like not super short, obviously. Like, I'm not like trying to like,
it's giving out. Gossip Girl.
Like, yeah. Like, I would love to see like a Gossip Girl version of Carmen. Like, she wears long dresses, but I've never seen her in like a shorter skirt or like
anything. I've never seen her kneecaps.
Like a little hint of ankle scandal. No, but I just feel like I would love to see her do like, yeah, like a Gossip Girl, a little like edgy prep would be like so fun on her. And I feel like she would like really like be able to have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Next up is Lily Znemer, Oscar's girlfriend. I just feel like she is very like cute and she's always wearing like, she's kind of more like almost like boho-y a little bit, but like kind of like very like put together. Like, I feel like I get a lot of like business casual from her.
I'd like to see more kind of like Cali, like Southern California, like LA girl style from her. Like, kind of like, and this kind of fits the Australian vibe too, but like surfer girl, like she's very casual. She's wearing kind of like baggy pants.
Yeah.
She's got, you know, like a tiny top on, but like an oversized sweater on top of it. You know, she loves a chunky shoe.
Yeah.
But it's very practical, but it's also like kind of a statement piece as well.
Cool. Yeah, I like that. I was thinking like cottagecore. Like, I really like want like, I really want like cottagecore for Lily. Like,
these are our little Barbies and we're dressing them up.
She's just like so cute and has these like big doe eyes that I'm like, oh my God, can you just picture her with like little ribbons in her hair and like those cute, fun dresses? Like, I'm like, I just want very like whimsical. She just like looks like a little princess and I like want.
Lily needs more whimsy in her
life. Okay, the next is Lily He, obviously our queen. And for her, I just want dark academia. Like, I think she does this a lot, especially she's like a very like good like vintage girl, but I want like tights. I want sweater vests. I want like just like the vibe, like the dark academia vibes. Like, I feel like she just would look so cool.
I totally agree with you. I think, I mean, Lily always, like, Lily is someone who has a very secure sense of style, and like, I love her stuff, so I don't think there's much I would want to change about what she does, but I totally agree. I think just kind of like a more sultry dark academia is like really
like the dark prep, almost like take Carmen but like make it like very like, oh my God, I think that she just would crush it. We already did Alex, and the last one that I had on here was Kika. And Kika's very Gen Z. Like, Kika's like all over the trends. So I'm like, what am I feeling? Like, what are we feeling for her?
I think she should even push the boundaries even more and be like Bella Hadid and wear like crazy trends.
Yeah.
That, like, she's so skinny. She can pull off fucking anything. Like, she should be wearing underwear as pants over tights. Like, she should be doing that. Because why not? I mean, I don't think she should wear it to the paddock per se, but I'd like to see her in it.
Yeah. No, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I was thinking like, you're Gen Z, just like go for it. And like, I think she's very cool and fun. Yeah. And I feel like she could do like, or like really amp up like the 2000s. Like I would like, you know, she's Gen Z, but I want to see like 2000s. Like I want like some layered tank tops, but I feel like some she would do it jeans. In like the coolest way. And like, yeah. I want like iced out lips. Like I just like feel like she is so cool and fun that she could like really pull that off.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Well, so stay tuned, guys. We'll keep talking about this and we'll see when they decide to take our advice, change up their personal styles. I mean, obviously,
if,
these women.
If you notice a change.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about, though, is Kelly. I forgot to put Kelly on here. And Kelly's style is very interesting to me in general because I think she's kind of a chameleon. And like some days she's like, oh, I am in my 30s. And some days she's like, but I look like I'm in my early 20s. And I just don't really know her vibe.
I think that personally, I'd love to see Kelly in the current Carmen fits.
Mm.
Like, I'd love to see her be very kind of Meredith Blake. Like, I want her kind of, like, classy, and I want her to act her age. Like, not that, like, being in her mid to late 30s is, like, old, but, like, she should be a powerhouse in her own right, and I think that she's not really showcasing that.
I like that. No, I think she looks so good in the stuff that...
Like, she posted a photo earlier. She's, like, at Milan Fashion Week, I think. And she posted a photo, and I was like, I love this outfit. I think you look amazing. I am impressed. And I think I want to see more of this. Like...
Yes, 100%.
Like, I just, like, loved this outfit, and I think that... She wears it like she looks really cool, and
yeah,
it's very flattering, and it's not like she's trying to not be her age, and like also like big fan of like this moment, like yeah. So I think I've been really impressed.
I think
with
she
her.
Could go a little more on the androgynous,
yeah,
style, like
exactly
trouser. Yeah, I think she. Yeah, I agree. I think that's like that's it for her.
Like again, she's very hot. But I'm like, this looks like a dress you should be wearing in college to go out. Like, this is not serving you right now. So,
yeah,
I think a little bit more on kind of like rich bitch vibes. That's what
like,
I like.
I'm old money. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and obviously, like, all of these women are so beautiful and have like very fun styles. But I think it's always fun to be like, what would look really good on this person? Mm-hmm. Like, what would like look really good on them? So it's fun. For doing that with me. That's really it. That's all I had in the girls' room. Like I'm saying, the girls are kind of boring this year, so I have to come up with my own topics.
Everyone's really I mean
come up with my own things. Oh, something that did happen, this is an ex-wag, but Charlotte posted some photos. Charles's ex-girlfriend Charlotte posted some photos from Paris. I believe she was there as like an early birthday thing, and it looked as if she soft launched someone. So we'll be keeping our eyes out to see if there is a hard launch anywhere out there. But everyone was commenting like, okay, soft launch. Okay, soft launch. So I'm going to be keeping my eyes out.
I mean, good for her. She deserves it.
Yeah.
In other ex-wags news, Issa posted a little photo set of her. And all of the wags were also in the comments commenting, slay bitch, go off queen. We love you. And she also made a little TikTok video that was like, at first I was pretending that I don't care, but then I realized that I actually don't care. And
she's gotten so petty since the breakup, and I'm loving it.
She's got a little fire in her.
I don't know what happened now, because I'm like, I think Carlos might have fucked up.
Yeah, so I don't know really the whole story there, but it seems like she's giving us some hints about whose fault it might have been in the relationship breakup. So,
ooh, I just want to know more.
And then there was the drama with one of Pierre's photo dumps, going back to his Japan photo dumps.
Yeah.
Where he posted that photo of Carlos and Rebecca and then got dragged on the internet. And I think he ended up deleting it, which was pretty funny. Yeah. So there was a lot going on this past week.
A lot's always happening. And we're just two girls.
I will say, though, the pipeline for Manifest Minute is dry.
No, there's a couple in the
Do we?
Yeah, go into the folder and anything that's unread.
Okay, this one's really old. Sorry to Clara. Hopefully you didn't fail your math exam again. This was for the Belgian Grand Prix.
Mm.
We missed that one. Sorry, Clara. Hopefully you passed. Also, pretty late. Carmel. She also was trying out for Solid Core Coach on August 11th. Mm. We did not get to this, but I have faith that you killed your audition, and please write in to let us know if you did in fact pass and you are now a licensed Solid Core Coach, because we do regret not manifesting for you during this, but hopefully you didn't need us and your own manifesting powers came through.
I think that was when we were on break. Yeah. We're on a break.
Unfortunately, sorry for everyone we missed while we were on break. But if I know anything about the people of this community, is that we have very strong brains. We have very yes. strong sense of self. And I know that everyone who thought about their dreams and hopes and, you know, put some time and effort into those thoughts really, really made them come true. So
I agree.
I don't have fear that a lot of you missed out on these opportunities because we didn't get to your manifest minute, because I have faith that you were able to pull through.
You are powerful in your own right.
Exactly. But those are the manifest minutes. So the pipeline's a little dry.
Yeah.
So guys, if you have anything that you want to manifest, please shoot a message in the emails. We're looking for suggestions. We're looking for these powerful brains. Obviously, we gotta
put them to work, guys. Otherwise, it's just untapped potential over here.
We got fashion show going, so it's only a matter of time. You just have to ask and you will receive.
Yeah, so if you want to email us, just make sure in the subject line is Manifest Minute. And if you have any deadlines or dates that you need a manifest by, please put that in there. We can't guarantee we will always get to your manifest in time, but we will do our best. Usually when we put out a call like this, we get a lot of them. So if we don't get to yours, know that we are reading every single Manifest Minute request that comes in and doing our own manifest as we read them. So you are getting our brain power, and we try really hard to get to everyone. So
also, they don't have to be super serious. They can be kind of silly if you want them to be too. So yeah. Whatever you really want. Doesn't have to be anything that's like life-changing if you don't want it to be. It can just be like, hey, I'm manifesting a win for my kids' soccer team on Saturday. We'll manifest.
Those other kids are going down. All right. Anyways, guys, this was fun. This is a nice little distraction from my stressful life. So thank you guys all for hanging out with us and being here. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. But until then,
we'll see you guys on the internet.
Bye. Bye.